guess about 11 or 12 years ago, Bono's group, not U2, Data, organized a trip for me to study extreme poverty, and was on that trip that I first got exposed really to the kind of the enormity of the water and sanitation issue and its massive complexity. And on top of that, there's just like, besides the pointless kind of the needless suffering and death, there's they're just, you know, it's this massive issue for women and for girls, and it just has such an impact on their lives. Girls, you know, millions of girls aren't in school because they're scavenging for water. It's their job to do that for the family, and so you can imagine what that does, you know, they can expect for the outcomes of their own lives if they aren't able to go to school and are just kind of spending their lives in a pitched battle to make it to the next day.
So Matt, you've said that there's never going to be enough charity to solve the water problem. And you know, I have to tell you, when I first heard about the water.org approach, I was just fascinated. I thought it was so brilliant. So tell us, why is there not going to be enough charity, and what are you guys doing, you know, to try to solve this problem?
It would be about $200 billion a year for 5 years to, you know, and our current budget, I think, is something like $8 billion. You know, we're not going to get there even with our foreign aid and everybody digging into their pockets. We need to come up with creative and innovative kind of ways to do this. As I learned more about the issue, I partnered with Gary White, who was the preeminent expert that I could find in this space, and he had pioneered this idea of water credit. What we call water credit was basically taking the concepts of microfinance developed by Muhammad Yunus and applying it to the water sector. So it's actually an income-enabling loan in that in these kind of urban and peri-urban areas, the municipality is piping water right under the feet of these slums, and people aren't connected to that infrastructure. They're actually going and spending a lot more money buying water from a water vendor. So they're paying more money. The poor are paying more for water than the middle class in a lot of these areas. These people are paying. They have no savings, but they're paying every day, in some cases 25% of their income just for their water. And so he said, well, if we could front them the money for a connection to their house, they wouldn't have to leave their job and go stand in this line for 4 hours with their jerry can and fill their jerry can, which is obviously tremendously unproductive. In fact, they could stay working at their job and have this household connection, and they'd quite easily be able to pay off this loan. And we've now reached 5.5 million people with these loans, and they pay back at 99%. But what's really great about it is it's a fundamentally looking at these people as human beings, and as rather than a problem or rather with this kind of paternalistic bent, the aid coming in, it's involving the community. They're participating in their own solutions, and that's really why it works so well.
So Matt, you've traveled around the world advocating for water and with water.org. What's the coolest place you've been? What's the coolest thing you've seen in the work on water?
I always think about this little girl that I met in Haiti, actually, and we were celebrating her, this direct impact project we'd done in this town, and this little girl was 13 years old, and my oldest at the time was 13 years old, so instantly, you know, I felt connected to her, and she, I started asking her questions, and she was spending 3 to 4 hours a day scavenging for water. She was lucky because she was still in school, but she was spending all of her free time scavenging for water. And I said, oh, well, now you're going to have this extra 3 or 4 hours. You know, you're going to have more time to do homework. And she kind of looked at me and scoffed and just said, like, I don't need more time to do homework. I'm the smartest kid in my class. and she said it in the way, like, I instantly was, like, 13 again and really intimidated because she was the smartest kid in the class. And so I'm like, all right, hotshot, well, what are you going to do with all this extra time? And she looked me right in the eyes and she said, I'm going to play. And it just buckled my knees because I just thought, you know, that's exactly what she should be doing. And, you know, that's exactly what all these kids should be doing, and not scavenging to make it to the next day, or not being kind of robbed of any opportunity to hope for better things for themselves, or not going out and waiting for dark to find a place to defecate out in the open and risk being assaulted by somebody, but you know, a predator who's out there waiting for you. You know, it's just as simple as that. You know, it's a human right, and she deserved that right to clean water and the right to the time to play because she's a kid.